I felt a shift in the spiritual realm in the last 2 hours. I don't know if it's just local to me or if it's the country or if it's worldwide or something, but I just felt it. I've never said that before because some things you notice seem kind of out there to the average person, but I really believe if you're in tune, you can sense stuff like that. Something clicked. Now, it could be just a chemical. Maybe I had a chemical imbalance and it got straight, but I really believe it was a shift, like a peace that just out of nowhere, just a total peace about everything. Total peace that you're in your path, total peace that you're on purpose, total peace that everything around you is working out for good, total peace that I can't even explain. It just seems like it's not just outside, but inside, everywhere. Now, there might be something bad that's getting ready to happen in the country, but I think that the believers now, here's what we need to do. Now that Trump's in, it's not about Trump, it's not about any party, it's about the hearts and the souls of mankind. Every time Israel went into idolatry, they got judged, you know. So what needs to happen this time is we don't need to get complacent and think, oh, this is always going to be here. You need to stay prayed up and stay in the faith walk, you know. I picked up this lady today after work, and she had two kids, and she was blind. She was probably about 35 or 40. And I picked her up before. I didn't recognize it. After we started driving, I said, haven't I picked you up before? She said, yeah, because it was a different location. Anyway, just talking to her, she was positive, and kids are very obedient. Helped her. She dropped the kids off at her ex-husband's house, I guess. And when on the text that came through, she said, can you help me get in the car and get out of the car? I said, yeah. So it's really about serving people, you know. It's about helping people. It's not about greed. It's not about being greedy. It's about helping people. And I really believe that when you get your heart right, that you don't mind helping people, that God blesses you in different ways. But doing that ride, that it could just be me feeling an internal shift, but it really just seems like there's a shift in the spirit realm. And talking to her and just seeing how positive she is, and she's blind. She's blind with two kids. I mean, come on. If you think you got it bad, imagine being blind with two kids. And the kids were like five or six. Imagine that. Could always be worse, people. Could always be worse. The game that the devil's playing against you is against your heart, you know. And that's the real game. Even though this place is a simulation, the real battle's against your heart, you know. And God is testing everybody to see where the heart is, and we go through this simulated training program over and over and over and over and over till we get our heart right. And then this other area needs to be worked on over and over and over till we look at the mirror image. When you really get into the state, when you really get in like the spirit mindset, I don't care if you scroll through Instagram or YouTube or anything. I don't care if it's, I don't care what it is. You can go in a store and there's a song playing, or you can go in a restaurant, somebody says something. It's always penetrating. If you're aware of it, if you're paying attention to your inner person, the outside is always either warning, trying to warn you. And I bit my tongue today, so it's hard to talk. But the outside is just a reflection of what needs to happen on the heart in your inside. So, in other words, let's say you were in bitterness. Let's say you were in bitterness to somebody or something. The stuff going on the outside is going to reflect your bitterness. Do you understand? If you're in agape love, let's say you're in agape love, then everybody around you is probably going to be nice. If you want to fight all the time, I remember I knew somebody a long time ago. He was always talking about fighting. He was always around fights. If your heart's about fighting, you're going to be fighting. You're going to quantum connect with that. You're going to pull that into your world. You know, if you're in peace, you're going to probably have peaceful people around you. And even the ones who don't want to be peaceful, you just don't deal with them, you know. Where you set your intentions, your affections, you usually get that reflection. Now, that's not always true. Sometimes it's a test. You know, somebody will try to bump into you to see what kind of substance comes out of the cup. You know, if you bump a cup, if you tip a cup and tea comes out, it's tea. If you touch a cup and bump it and Coca-Cola comes out, it's Coca-Cola. So same with the human vessel. If you push somebody and peace comes out, there's peace. If you push somebody and it triggers them to be mad and curse you out, that's what's in them. And that's why we fundamentalists, we sometimes go off and say, you're a sinner. Your sin stinks to the high heaven. We're trying to see what's in there. We're trying to see what's... Can you admit you're a sinner? Do you admit there's a hell? Do you admit you're going there? Have you accepted Christ? Do you believe a heaven or hell? And so when a fundamentalist is yelling and screaming, it's not that they're mad at you. They're trying to see what triggers you. Some of them don't even know they're doing it, but that's really what's happening. The trigger points, if whatever triggers you needs to be addressed, you know? Whatever your trigger point is, it actually needs to be addressed, and you can actually use AI now. Say, why? Just go to AI and say, this triggered me today, what this person says. Can you give me some Bible verses, how to overcome it, and why it might trigger me? Why it might be my trigger point? What is my missing? What's my blind spot? You know? You got so many tools now. So many tools. The creator knows his creation better than the creation knows themselves. Hello? That just came to me as I was sitting here. That just came to me. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say it that way. The creator knows his creation better than the creation knows itself. I think I read an email yesterday. What'd she say? Oh, she's just going to trust the plan from above. The creator knows the creation better than the creation knows itself. So what should you say? You should say, Lord, what's my next step? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, where do you want me to go? Lord, should I do this? Lord, should I yoke up in this venture? What should I do? And back to what I was saying, a lot of times the data points, they're always hitting you, you know. You're always being led and guided without even knowing it. So if you become self-aware of your thoughts and pay attention to what's going on in the inside, when these things hit you, you know it's for you. When something hits you, you know it's for you. It's probably not for anybody else around. If you notice something, it's probably not for the other person. It's probably for you. They might not see it. They might not ever see it. Some people never do introspection their whole life. I had a college roommate one time. We went over there, a bunch of us went over there for Christmas or something. Sitting at the table, his dad was a policeman. And that man was not introspective at all. He couldn't even recognize. I mean, this was a policeman, not the top chief, but a chief, you know. And you're sitting here listening to this policeman. And it was so much ego and pride. It was like off the roof. Some of the people in the highest positions cannot ever be introspective. They never see their own junk. I mean, even if they're not working, and you're just sitting there having a talk with them, they still think they're in that ego position, that ego trip, or whatever you want to call it, you know. Blows your mind. Pay attention to your trigger points. If I say to a Christian, a born-again Christian, hey, your sin stinks to heaven, you know what they're going to say? Yeah, but praise God, the blood of Jesus covers me. If I say, your sin stinks to thy heaven, you're going to burn. You deserve hell. The sinner man says, you're a bigot. You're a religious, blah, blah, blah. But the saved person hears it different. And they say, yeah, I deserve hell, but I'm covered by the blood. I ran to Jesus and Jesus saved me. So you can have two people sitting listening to the same message and hearing two different things because of where they are and what their trigger points are and where they are on the path. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? Your perspective is different depending where you are on the path. And if somebody tips your cup, what comes out? Anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, revenge, murder? What comes out of your cup? Is it love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith? Is it disappointment that they are doing what they're doing? Or is it, what is it? It's never the other person. It's always you. Yeah, somebody can push your boundaries till you can't take it anymore. I understand that. But just on general, and 90% of the time, it's not the other person. It's you. Trigger points, perspectives, fake or false constructs, bloodline programs, culture programs, your own understanding. Instead of falling in with the script, you want to do your own thing. You want to think your own thoughts. When you renew your mind with the truth, why don't you think about this? His word was forever settled in heaven. He gave us his word. He gave you all the storylines from Genesis to Revelation. You're actually in it, but he gave you these storylines so when it happens to you, you would be prepared. And then the church age comes, and so the people before you were under law and all that, and so they didn't have the knowledge you have now. So now the church age, you got the New Testament, and you can see these tricks. And so the devil will take people over, and the devil will try to provoke you or trigger you to get you out of the spirit walk. And if they can do that, if somebody, anybody, whether they intentionally do it or not, if somebody can drop you down out of the spiritual walk, then that is a key. That is a key. That is a bingo moment. Bingo. That's a green flag that, hey, you need to pay attention to this. Or a red flag, green flag. If something can trigger you, that's not a red flag for the other person. It's a red flag for you. You understand what I'm saying? Why does this trigger me? And it's usually the same thing over and over. You've seen it 1,000 times and you still triggered. So what you got to do is say, okay, why did I lose my peace over something like this? So the narcissist can be actually a blessing in your life, because usually a narcissist is taken over by, and it just comes and goes. They're not always possessed by a devil. They just get possessed for a moment, and they're going to say something to trigger you. And if you realize it's not the person, it's the demon in the person, and you say, oh, they're saying something that triggered me when I was a kid, or 10 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 3 years ago, and I'm still dealing with it. Why don't I respond right? So the narcissist can actually be a blessing. So even when you get away from that narcissist, thoughts that came to your mind or whatever it is, you can still avoid being triggered by it, you know? It's a real thing. And so if you can get rid of all the trigger points and figure out what the root of it is, because it's a program. It's the old flesh mind. It's the old flesh mind trying to defend itself or protect itself or some kind of weird thing. Ego, pride, the Jezebel spirit, want to argue with somebody. If you want to argue with people, I went through this for a long time. Then one day it was gone. When I recognized if somebody would debate about once saved, always saved, I'd say something about eternal security. And then I'd have some legalists come up and say, no, or a Pentecostal, you can lose your salvation, and screaming at me and yelling or whatever. And I used to fight with them. And then one day, I didn't fight anymore, because I realized what it was. They were trying to trigger me. And then when I said, you know, is that why I always drew these Jezebels around me? Because I wanted to fight Jezebel. Where did that fight come from? You want to fight Jezebel? Fight the devil? Where did that come from? Part of it could be a savior complex. Another part of it would be you're trying to prove, outsmart them, or prove you're smarter than them or something. Could be a pride thing. And so there's many things that it could be. But then there's one day, then you just don't do it anymore. You just tell the truth. Once saved, always saved. Sealed until the day of redemption. He that began a work, good work, will finish it. And just, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. And they shall not ever be plucked out. There's one missing out of the 99. He goes and finds that one. He doesn't leave it astray, you know? And I realize sometimes God puts a desire in you to help somebody escape some of these trigger points and help them. He will divinely put something in you, a supernatural desire, drive, love, whatever. And it might not last forever. It might just be a season. It might be your whole life. You never know. But he puts something in you to help that person overcome that trigger point, whatever it is, or maybe more than one, because that person's the elect, and he has to use certain people for certain people, because that's the only people they're going to listen to. Think about what I just said. Really think about what I just said. God might use you and only you for one person or a couple types of personalities that they would only listen and heed what you're saying, or even debate or listen to what you're saying, or hear it, or whatever. Do you understand? And I think that's true for everybody. You might have some children that they didn't listen to you about certain things, but they might go across the street and they listen to their uncle or aunt or somebody, and they listen to them, and they listen to them, but you told them 1,000 times, but they didn't hear you, but they listen to somebody else. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all already know the truth. Y'all have the truth. You just have to dig deep down, cut the noise off, cut all the noise off, and just become aware of what's going on around you. Like this one rider I picked up, he's like 22 years old, and we were talking. He's a student at A&T, but he's taking a semester off because of stress. And he said something. I'm trying to remember what it was. I said, "How did you learn that at your age?" And he said, "It's right in front of you." And I said, "Exactly." I said, the whole truth. He said, "The truth's right in front of us." I said, "Exactly. Everything's right in front of people." I said, "Why do you think they don't see it?" And I said, "How did you see it at your age that is right here? And why do you think others can't see it? How could you see that at your age?" And I forget his answer. It was just a generic answer. He said, "They just don't want to see it, or they don't want the truth," or something like that. Yeah. So what he said, okay, so let's say you got a situation in your life, whether it's a job, whether it's relationship, dating, marriage, whether it's business, whether it's something on the news or the TV, just cut the noise off. Think about it. Take all the data points that was said or done, or the actions or behavior. Just sit back, and they're telling you by their actions, by their behavior, by their body language, by their words, by their typescript, whatever it is, they're telling you. They might think they're hiding, but nobody can hide. They're telling you, and the answer's right in front of us or something. It's clear. It's clear as all get out. If you can read the body language of a dog and know the dog needs to go to the bathroom, or the dog's hungry, or the dog's tired, if you can read the body language of a child, what about a human being that's an adult with a language? You can read the person by their language, by what they do say and what they don't say. You just have to become really aware of it. Be in the moment. Don't let the outward stuff blind you. The way they treat others, the way they treat you. Their pattern, unless they change their pattern, unless they admit they had a pattern, their pattern from the past is going to be their pattern today. This is so important. I had to put that on pause. That guy's mufflers. Think about what. Now, this guy's 22 years old. I said, "How do you see that at your age?" He said, "It's if people just sit back, they could see it." I said, "Yeah, but when you're younger, how is that possible?" And so he must have went through a lot or something growing up or something, but. Their words, their writing, who they hang out with, the way they think, the way they talk, the patterns of the past. It's impossible not to see it once you become aware that the whole truth is right in front of you all the time. You already know what they're doing. And another way to see it, here's another way to see it. If you look at the fractal pattern of people that have been in that person's situation, if you know some details about their life, just a few details, you've seen it in other people. You've seen it in movies. You've seen it in TV shows. You've seen it in neighbors and coworkers. You've seen the pattern. Like I said earlier, if you take a sample of 1,000 women, you can pretty much guess what most women think like. If you take a sample of 1,000 men, you can pretty much know what men think. Now, there's always exceptions, especially if it's a saved person who's really getting serious deep in the word. They're going to think different. If you really get born again, you're not like the world. You do want love and truth and joy and peace and goodness and meekness and temperance and faith. And you do really forgive. And you don't hate your neighbor. You love your neighbor. You don't even hate your enemy. You love your enemy. The mind of Christ is a 5D mind. And the 3D mind is nothing but flesh. But the 5D mind is spirit. And so when you step into that different reality, then you can see the fractal of the born-agains because they're going to act the same. You got the hive mind, which is the flesh mind, and you got the body of Christ, which is the spirit mind, and they all think the same. That's why we all say, "I can't wait for the rapture." Everybody's crying. We all just ready to get out of here. Almost every saved person I've ever talked to, really saved, they say, "Man, I wish I was out of this place." The men and the women say, "Yeah, we want the rapture." Now, what happens, though, is if you go through that enough, you'll probably say, "Okay, well, wait a minute. So God has left me here. I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to be negative because he's left me here for a reason." So you work through that and you say, "Okay, we want to leave, but while we're here," he says, "find something to do." And since it's not a touch not, taste not legalistic religion, he wants you to enjoy what you're doing. It's not about how much money you got, how nice a car, how nice a house, what neighborhood you live in. Just be content with what you have and find something. In Proverbs says, "In all labor there's profit," but it also says, Find the right labor for your hands. Find what you enjoy doing and then build your house. In other words, find you a trade, find you occupation, find you something you enjoy, and then just build your house. Don't go back under legalism. Don't go back under judgmentalism. And if you're in a church that's making you depressed and sad and miserable, get out of that church. Just leave. You're not obligated to stay in that building. If it's all negative, why are you still in there? Get away. Anyway, I don't know what I was talking about. What was it? Oh, the shift. I feel a shift. It might be because of the election.
But I do feel a shift. It might be personal. It might be community. It might be, I don't know what it is. But I feel a shift in the matrix.
I feel a shift. How about y'all? Anybody else?
The shift has hit the fan. I really believe that. I can't put my finger on it yet. Think about it. We went through a pandemic. We went through inflation. We went through hurricanes. We've been through a lot. And you and I saw people. That might be the shift because, you know, I do rideshare all the time. And I saw people just depressed and sad and crying. And people are still crying about the rental prices. And you just see people saying, something's got to change. Something's got to give. I mean, I saw that 2 months ago. Something's got to give. And I think God has heard the cries of the poor. You know, the Bible says the poor are rich in faith, you know. I think God has heard the cry of the poor. There really needs to be a limit. I know this doesn't sound Republican, but I really believe there needs to be a limit on what they can charge for these rentals. Yeah, maybe charge us a base rent and tell the renters, hey, if the water bill, the power bill goes up, we're going to have to charge you. You know, people are selfish. Anyway. I'm not the head of a state. If I was the head of state, people wouldn't like it, you know? Like that guy, that 22-year-old guy. He said, no matter what, who's in charge, not everybody, you can't make everybody happy. And I think that's what started the conversation. I said, how did you see that at your age? Because I didn't see it. It took me a long time to get there. Anyway. If you don't feel the shift, you can enter into that shift by just getting grounded in the promises of God. I call them archetypes, but they're promises. They are overarching patterns that you see in the Bible and you see in reality that there's no scarcity lie. Wile E. Coyote always destroys himself. If your enemy is attacking you, God knocks them back. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. They always get knocked back. So there's certain principles and promises that all you do is go to AI and say, hey, AI, give me a list of promises for the elect saints in all dispensations and give me a list. And you put them on a piece of paper and you put them on your bathroom glass. You put them in your car and you memorize those promises every day for 21 days and or 60 days or 90 days until it becomes a part of you. And then when it settles in and becomes a part of you, your reality is going to shift. You're going to shift because your thinking changes. And we take the stinking thinking and we hit it with truth and we get free. The truth always sets you free. If you're lazy, you're going to be depressed. So you got to change your thinking. You got to change your thinking. If you hate authority, you're going to be having trouble. You got to shift your thinking. Your authority's really for your own good. And I'm talking about local authority. Could be a pastor. Could be a husband. It could be a boss. It could be whoever is your authority. And the women who say, well, my husband, well, he has an authority. I don't want to submit. He has an authority. God is his authority. His boss is authority. The government's his authority. Everybody has authority. So if you hate authority, you're going to have trouble. Your authority really is trying to help you. The letter C is a rich man chasing a poor man down to give him charity. The letter C, go look it up in the Hebrew. The letter C actually means a rich man chasing a poor man down to give him charity. What's charity? Agape love. So the rich man is trying to give you a job. The rich man is trying to give you some knowledge. The rich man is trying to break you out of that slavery repeat. If you would just submit. So, yeah, I'll take that money. All right, let's punch in at 8 and I'll pay you at 5. Or punch, work 5 days and you'll get a pay. Or work 2 weeks and we'll give you a paycheck. And then while you're in there, you learn how he does his job, how he does his business. And then if you want to, you can start your own. But you might be better off with less stress and just go in, punch in, get off, throw in some money in the 401k. Live off, get on the medical plan with them and just chew. And on your weekends, do your little side stuff if you want to. Don't go spend all your money at the bar. And, you know, the rich man, the way God has set up this reality is the poor man can get rich off the shirt tails of the rich man if you play it right. Seriously. Same with the women. So let's say a woman has a husband who's working his 40 hours and paying the bills and working hard. She could be doing her little online eBay store or something with crafts. I do a lot of Uber rides. These ladies, I'll pick them up. They say, I got to go get this, go over to this hair store and get some kind of weave or something. I said, you got your own, but she said, I rent this place. And like on the weekends, I do hair. I make $200 every time I do some hair for people. I said, wow, that's pretty good. You're making more than I make. She said, it only takes 2 or 3 hours. I make $200. I've seen that 1,000 times. That's their extra money, right? Like me, as I'm doing Uber, I'm looking on the side. I picked up $750 the other week, cabinets that I need to mount some cabinets. If I'd have had to spend the money, I'd have spent $750. Anyway, there's a shift. If you can't feel it, you can create your own shift. You just have to go to the Word, write down all those promises, believe them. Meditate on them, eat them, eat, drink, chew it till it becomes a part of you. Change your mind, shift your thinking, become self-aware. Think how the rich think. Think how the free think. Think how the watch. Just scroll through some shorts and listen to people who have left whatever state you're in. And they used to be in that state, listen to them and just do what they do. God has not left you comfortless because he is a comforter. And if he is a comforter, what is he going to do? He's going to comfort you. How's he going to do it? He'll use other people. And if there's no people around, he'll be with you. You can just sense it, you know. He gave you his word to comfort you. He gave you his church. He gave you the truth. The Holy Spirit in you. The comforter is another name for the Holy Spirit. And so if that's his name, then that's a promise that he will comfort you. Think about that.